Message, M.O23, Sons of God Not Sons of Adam. A word given by Cecil J. DeCille, 26th of January, 1971.
The spirits are trying to learn how to manipulate you. Once a spirit can manipulate you, he will slap you, bam, and you'll jump and do it. You see, they move with excitement. Anytime you are excited to do something, don't do it. Hold down, don't do it. Quick, do it. If you don't do it, the time is like a salesman come down to you, say, brother, it's the last one left. You better hold it down or else you're going to lose it. Get you excited. It's a demonic psychology. Amen. So, spirits want to take over your controls. They want to manipulate you, but they have no chance with you. If you are just like this in God, just a little bit, they don't have a chance with you. And this is what you'd better understand from now. Because what I understand is happening to our body is that the people are now becoming afraid of spirits. Spirits are to be afraid of you. Yeah. It's like the boy running from the rabbit and the rabbit running from the boy. They are deadly afraid of you, especially this generation of people, this army of God that is going forth in the earth and that is being recruited. They are trembling. They are trembling. But they are great psychologists. A spirit comes to you and says, I've got you covered, he said. There's nothing you can do, I've got you. If you believe him, he's got you. But before that, he didn't have you. He's a liar. Amen. Amen. Glory. Amen.
Yes.
They don't have the power they say they have. All the power they have is you give them. The first man they deceived, Adam, Eve, the deceiver, and Adam thought that he had to fall down with her too. And so they deceived mankind and they got the kingdom by deception. The kingdom does not belong to them. The kingdom belongs to us. God is raising up an army to take away the kingdom from them.
Amen.
And it's men who must take away this kingdom from the devil.
That's right.
Amen. And what we have seen Satan doing, we don't like it. What's he doing to you? What's he doing to me? What's he doing to the people outside there? We don't like it. And by God, even as a soldier would prefer to go out there and die rather than to make them take his country. So are we. We don't care about life when it comes to this battle. I want to see Satan down and I must see him down. Blessed be the God. I have a personal fight with him. What I've seen him done, it hurt me to the bottom of my soul that any being could be so diabolical, so utterly wicked. And I say, by the grace of God, we're going to get him. And this is what my Bible promises me, and I believe it. By the grace of God, we're going to get him. And by the grace of God, brethren, you must realize that Satan has no power over you. Put confidence in brethren. Put confidence in the sons of God, in the daughters, in the children. Let them have confidence, or else they're going to fall prey to a lie. Satan is a liar. He tells you he has you when he hasn't. And the worst lie that the devil could tell, the worst lie that anybody could tell, is a lie that you can see and feel. I remember once a woman came in the church with a big cancer in her breast, and she was burdened. The whole world had caved in on her. She said, I'm going to die. They said, I'm going to cut my breast off, and it's the beginning of the end for me. And she was just cut to pieces. We said Jesus was going to heal you, and she came to the church with hope in her heart. Blessed be to God, that big cancer was there, a real bump. I could feel it. Real bump, a big thing like a half a dollar. And we felt the bump, and it was there. It was real enough, but it was a lie. Because as we prayed, the lie just... And the worst part, she went back, they tested her blood. She didn't have a trace of cancer, and she was filled with it. Cancer isn't real. No sickness is real. It is something imposed upon the body by a lie. I can impose anything on you. I can impose a sickness on you. Give me your hand. I can impose a sickness on you. If I hold your nerve here and cut the blood off in this hand, in a few minutes this hand will be cramped. I impose a sickness. It's not real. I let go and the sickness is gone. And this is what the devil is doing to us. He has learned too much about the computer, the body, the human body. He's learned so much about it that he can touch it in one place and it clicks to him. Amen. And so because of this, we fall prey. We feel a pain. It's real. We cry out. It's real pain. But it's a lie. Somebody trying to convince you. And he is just stretched over there and he knows what to do to bring a pain on. He stretches over there, touch some nerve center, and he has you. And the more you believe it, the more you cry out, the more he presses the case. Oh, good God, we must wake up and understand, no matter what we feel, no matter what we suffer, that God can just knock that devil out and the machine begins to work. Amen. You see, God made you not to be sick. Can you remember when Adam was here before? Was there any sickness before sin? No sickness. Adam could have fallen down. Amen. He would have bummed up again. Nothing could happen. You could chop off the hand, pick it up, put it on back. It would just correct itself. There was no problem. Your teeth wouldn't drop out. Your eyes wouldn't get dim. Nothing would just would happen to you. And in Christ Jesus, by faith, all things are possible to him that believeth. Have you got a God that has a limit? Then if you have, you haven't got the right God. For our God has no limit. And there's nothing that he won't do. If you lose an organ, he'll put it in back. I've seen him putting a tongue in a boy's mouth right before us. And we were all frightened, and I'm still frightened over it. But I believe it. It was right there, boy. I had no tongue. He came in, prayed for him back. He had a beautiful tongue and he began to chat. He couldn't talk before. Amen. If you lose an organ in your body, Jesus will put it in back. Amen. Hallelujah. So you've got to believe God. Amen. Believe the God you serve. Walk in what you believe. Because this is the way we are going through, by walking in that which we believe. Hallelujah. Let us check on God's army. We're just going to run right through the Bible and check on this army. First of all, let me explain what it is. We turn to Judges. Read Joshua first and then Judges afterward. Let me explain what this means. God, in the beginning, made man. First of all, he created man within his own mind. Like an architect creates a plan, he creates a building He creates the thing in his mind, then he puts it on paper. God had man within him before the foundation of the world. There were many scriptures which tell you that God, you were existing before the foundation of the world. I don't want to go to them, but there are three I'm thinking of now. One is in John chapter 17, don't turn to it, and verse 6. Jesus speaking to God about man, and he said, blind they were, yet it was Jesus who made them. You see, so there were gods before Christ Jesus made them. So we find that man, therefore, was a part of God. Man was in God, in God's mind, in God's thinking. If you can say God has a thinking, but that's the only way we can figure out God, because when God thinks, it happens.
Yes.
You see what I mean? So we had our being within him. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, we had our being in God. We had life in God before the world was. Because Jesus said he died for man before the world was. Before the foundation of the world. And in Genesis chapter 2, we see where all things were created before they were made. You want to check on that? Genesis 2 and 4. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Praise God. So that both man and all things that are on the earth were created in God before the earth. He said in the very day that he made the earth, he created everything. But they didn't appear. They weren't made to appear. And so we find that man, therefore, was a part of God, in God, created in God before Jesus made him. Then Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, and he said, Father, give them the glory that we had before the world was. The glory, what glory was he talking about? It was a glory that he and God had to give man before the world was. Meaning to say, brother, God made man and all things, and he said it is good. So therefore God saw what man would be, and God saw a perfect man coming in the earth and vindicating God. So God knew what you would be, and today you know what you will be only because of the revelation of God. So God knew all along what you would be, and God is now informing you what you will be. And most of us don't know what we are. But you see, I don't know, I'm not going to get through this message today. We were Adam. You were Mrs. Adam, and you were Mr. Adam. In Adam, you were Adam. But in other words, every sinner is Adam, because your father's name was Adam. The woman's name, God said their names were Adam. So Adam was their surname. And so she was Eve Adam, and he was just Adam. He didn't have any other name beside Adam. Now, this Adam, this man Adam, he had the fallen nature within him. And he produced children according to the fallen nature. Therefore, God sent his son Jesus and the Bible said he shall see of his seed and he shall be satisfied, Isaiah 53. That means Jesus was going to have some seed, but he was cut off from the land of the living. So that means he didn't have natural carnal seed, but spiritual seed is greater than natural seed. So when the natural spiritual seed came upon the last generation, I'll explain that. When the spiritual seed came upon the Adamic seed, the spiritual seed destroyed the Adamic seed. And you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Therefore you are no longer Adam, but you are Christ. In other words, you are born of Christ now. You are not born of Adam. You are born of Christ. So therefore, you are no longer Adamic in your nature. Neither are you normal, physical, natural human. You see? Now, if you go around in your thinking and think, well, I'm human, I'm natural, I'm normal, then you are putting a burden upon the Christ man that he should not have. Amen. For you have made a division with Adam, and the natures are dividing and falling apart. The dead carcass is falling away, and the living man is moving off and leaving him to die. So you that I speak to are not Adamic people. Therefore, I speak to you as spiritual. I don't care how much carnality you have in you. It's not in you. It's not of you. It's foreign to you. It's Adamic. It's not Jesus. Therefore, the you that I know, the you that I'm talking to, the you that I believe in, the you that I trust, is not the Adamic you. I have no faith in that thing. So, you are just slightly schizophrenic. Because there is a thing that is coming up and manifesting you, which is not you. Therefore, if I should see one of you do some awful thing, something very awful, and I am going to talk to you about this awful thing, you know what I would do? I would just call the Jesus in you and fellowship with him and ignore the Adam that is fooling around, for you are not Adam. I want you to begin to think that way. You know why? You have got to be lifted by your thoughts. You have got to be lifted by what you think. The frequency of God is lifting the frequency of man by his soul or his mind. And you are being raptured. This is the rapture. We are being lifted out of the realms of carnality and physical operations and into the realms of the spiritual operation. And we are not sons of Adam, but sons of God. You will have to change that heading, brother. I just wouldn't have the time to get through that. Praise God. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Sons of God are not sons of Adam. Praise God. Now, if you read the first verse, it says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it runs right down to, it's divided into three parts. And each part had 13, supposed to have 13 generations. And we come down to the last section here. The last 13 generations. Let's see now. Where did that start? Yes, 12, verse 12. Verse 12. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begot Saltiel. That's one. Check it for me. One. All right, you check it. One. And Saltiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abihud. Abihud begat Eliakim. Eliakim begat Azor. Azor begat Zadok. Zadok begat Achim. Achim begat Eliud. Eliud begat Eleazar. Eleazar begat Matthan. Matthan begot Jacob. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Praise God. Now, if you notice, it's not 13.
My God, it's 14.
Please?
It says 14. So all the generations from Adam after David were 14 generations.
Yeah. So all the generations from, what did I say? 13. I meant 14. Because three 13s wouldn't make 42 anyhow. So that's not a difference of Bible. It's just a slip of the tongue. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14. But how many did you count?
13.
So that's where I made it. Now, it's either there that the Bible made a mistake here, or that something is, a revelation is here. You know what I've discovered? Every place that they say the Bible make a mistake, there's a revelation. Yes?
No, we just read that all the
generations from Abraham to David are 14, they are 14, and from David to Babylon they're 14, but from Babylon to Christ they're 13.
Right.
So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David it went right on. Yes. Yes.
I wondered in the 12th verse, it says Jeconias begets Salathiel.
Yes.
Well, does Jeconias count as one generation?
No, that's Jeconias begets Salathiel one.
Okay.
You see, well, here we are faced with a situation of Adam increasing unto Jesus, and Jesus had no increase in the natural, so the increase of Adam was finished with Jesus. Therefore Jesus is increased. Now let's take Isaiah 53. In other words, the Bible said 14 generations. It said 42 generations, but it only gave 41. It said 14 generations from Babylon to Christ, and it only gave 13. So let us see where the other generation is. Because you see, those generations came in a shorter period of time, if you notice. But this generation is a generation that's gone over 2,000 years. So it wasn't the time factor, but it was the generation, the increase of the man. How many children he had was his generation. 53. And verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, yet put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall seek his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, the promise that God gave Abraham said that thy seed, well, let's go right back to the promise God gave Genesis chapter 3. God gave Adam and Eve. Chapter 3 and verse 16, unto the woman he said, no, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Paul discussing it said in Hebrews, and God said seed, not as seeds, as many seeds, but he said seed, and that seed meant Christ. Now, it would mean, therefore, that you would have to become Christ to come into that inheritance.
Yes.
Because Christ should bruise his head and finally destroy him. And God put down in Daniel that the saints of the Most High God shall take the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. Check that. Daniel 7, 8, 18. I've got you all over this morning. Daniel 7 verse 18, it could be 2 and 44 too, but But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, forever and ever. Definitely shows that it's the saints. Verse 22, 27 says the same thing. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. You notice he's not talking about in heaven, under the starry heavens, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey who? Him. You're speaking about people and you call them him? Please. What Bible you have, sister?
It's Catholic edition.
No good. Oh, sorry. That, I understand now why you said my Bible. No, when I was reading here and I didn't read that, I thought when you said my Bible, you were saying that your Bible is the same as mine. Well, I just understand now what you meant, you know, when you said my Bible. You know, some of us have a way of saying, well, my Bible says.
It does say.
Yes, I understand that now. I didn't understand that before. Well, you see, in a case like that, they couldn't understand why the Hebrew said him. So they changed it. It must mean them. And they, when they change it, they kill the meaning of what God intends on them.
Now mine says the same as hers. Read yours again.
It says, the kingdom and all dominions shall serve and obey him. You must get the King James, and I tell you why. The men were very naive. The men who translated, and they were not only naive, but they were determined to put down just what they saw. You see, they wouldn't use their own thoughts. And therefore, some of the things that are counted as errors in the Bible are not errors at all. They are deliberately put there. I would love to look at that Bible. I've got one home, but that's far away. Yeah, you see, and you should get a King James, because there are many misleading passages in that Bible, because they just couldn't understand the thing in a certain way. They just put it at all their logical minds tell them. And one of the greatest sins we could commit in God is to think. And yes, when God said God tell Joshua to do something that was so foolish looking. As far as a general is concerned with his army, he's going to attack a big old walled city. He must march around the city and let the people have a target at him. That's what he was doing, exposing himself. Well, God told him to do it, he did it. And it struck fear in the hearts of the enemy. No general would do that of himself. If he had been thinking, he would say, boy, I can't do it. But he wouldn't think. He just did what God said. Hallelujah. So this says him. And you know why it says him? Because God said that his people would come into one and be a one-man company. And it's not a mistake, because everywhere that they mention the saints, they say him. And then it is explained down in the scriptures, for in the New Testament, where we shall be one. And he even went as far as to say that all the witnesses had one mouth. Their mouth. And you thought it was a mistake, and it went on a little further, and the 144,000 had one mouth too. Their mouth. You know. And it's just like that. Now if you translate it and put mouths and say, oh, they must have made a mistake, they meant mouths, you make a mistake, you destroy the word of God. So here we are now. We were therefore talking about the Adamic man and the Jesus man, and the difference between Adam and Christ, and who are you? Are you Adam or are you Christ? You must be either one or the other. Now, if you are not Christ, and if Christ does not come forth in you, you shall not receive the inheritance of Christ. And that is why Paul said, if ye have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. For it is the Spirit of Christ that makes you enter into the possession. The possession that Jesus Christ left upon his testament to give those who are his children. So if you have not got the Spirit of Christ, that legacy will never be yours. Amen. For this is why the Holy Ghost came, in order that you might have Christ. And there are some of us have the blood, we have the Holy Ghost, but we don't have the Christ. So the inheritance is in Christ, if you understand what I'm talking about. The generation here. He shall see of his seed. So the 42nd generation. When you hear them speak of the 42nd generation, maybe many of you have heard Bill Britton on the 42nd generation. I haven't. But this is what he preaches, I believe. And this is what God has been showing us. That the Bible said there were 42 generations, and the Bible deliberately gave 41. Count it from the first verse in... if you count the whole thing, we don't want to count the whole, we only count the last 13 where the apparent error is, because it was 14, 14, and instead of 14, 13. And the Bible said there are 14 generations. And yet they only put 13. So there is a generation in Jesus Christ. So when you are born again, you are born of Jesus Christ. And if you are born of Jesus Christ, your name is not Adam, it's Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not only your name, but your nature. And the nature that is in you is the Christ nature.
Yeah.
And you must ignore the Adam nature. Ignore the desires of Adam. Ignore the wants, the feelings, the pressures that Adam is bringing down on you, because he's no more boss there. The Jesus nature is boss. The Christ nature coming forth in you. Amen. Now, therefore, every scripture, when you talk about sons of God, every scripture that refers to you, call your children. No word sons in there for you. And you know, when we go about boasting that we are sons of God, the little baby is your son. He's your son. But he's not a son in the sense of taking over your operation. He has not come into sonship, into the fullness of what you want him to be. Therefore, you don't trust him with your business until he is matured. Amen. But when you are matured, when I am matured, is when Christ in me is matured. Glory to God. And Christ is only matured in me when I become subject to the Holy Ghost. The Eliezer that is sent to take me back home, he knows the way. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm going home. And I know there's an Isaac waiting. So the maturity will only come after you have encouraged the Christ in you, the Christ that is in you. Now, if Christ is not in you, you would not have that hunger
for this type of world that feeds Christ. You would see it as a waste of time to come and sit down with a group of people who are not shouting and having exercise. Therefore, when you see one that is not interested in coming and sitting down and getting down into his Bible and delving down into the deeper truths and eating the stronger food, when you meet such a one, don't despise him. But you must know that it's because he has not got something in him which you have in you. In other words, he's not pregnant. If he's pregnant any at all, he's going to be longing for the same food you have, because the thing in him is crying for food.
Amen.
He's got to feed it.
Yes.
Amen. Praise be to God. So the things of the world will drop off of you. Drop off of you, and the things of God will increase in you. Praise God. And as these things increase in you, the man-child will grow, because it's the generation of Jesus Christ coming forth. Now, there are things that a woman can do to increase the child in her. I mean, give him more growth and everything like that. And there are things she can do to retard his growth. Amen. Therefore, as we talked last night about God's time plan, God's time will come without you doing anything about it. And when God blows or finish blowing his trumpet, because there's a trumpet blowing now, when God has finished blowing his trumpet, then what's going to happen is that the sons of God will come forth in birth, and this message will be over. Therefore, those who had the desire to have the food in them would all be filled with that which God is giving forth in this hour. What I'm talking about is a lot of pregnant people longing after something. Then God sends a messenger rising up from the earth and begin to pump the life into them. The message comes forth and they begin to swallow this message, and it begins to grow this child within them. Some grow more than the others, because some women won't just take, you know, enough care and enough what they need. Some will go to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you've got to take some calcium because so on, so and so on. Others say, well, you've got to take this and take that and take that, and they will do it. Others won't do it. Others don't care about going to the doctor or something like that. The next thing happens, you find some get a child with not as much good. But when the time comes, when God's time comes, when the fullness of time comes, there is a birth coming forth. Amen. And may God help us that none of us have an abortion or are stillborn. But God is so bringing the thing together that those on the other side are getting the same food that we are getting here. Those loved ones who couldn't make it, you know, some of us, our bodies, and this is what it's almost a warning to us, that if we are not progressing on with God, our bodies, our physical self, we are always putting the physical before God, and the physical is stopping us from going on with God. What do you expect God to do if you have a contract with him?
to bring you into this fullness. What's he going to do? Move the physical. Put the physical aside. Take care of it. You lose the franchise of being one of those who are in the army of God, turning many to righteousness in this hour. You lose that franchise. You've got to go sit on one side and take your lessons. And you can only get what is given to us because we are the people who are standing in this hour to do the job. I mean, I hope that by the grace of God, this situation will be so clear in everybody's mind what God is doing that we won't have to ever go over it. You see, God had in his mind a man that was filled with the Christ Spirit and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me draw him on the board for you. If you have any pictures of Jesus at your home, just take it and throw it away. Tear it up, throw it in the fire. It's not Jesus at all. God never gave us a picture of Jesus. Were you going to ask something? Oh, praise God. See, you do like this. You see? Yes. That's not the picture of Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus I'm going to draw on the board. And if you want this picture, you put it up in your house. Three measures of meal. And Jesus had the Holy Ghost filling his whole soul. He was born filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. Jesus had the Christ Spirit filling his whole soul. Did I say soul here? I meant spirit. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost was filling his spirit. The Christ Spirit was filling his soul. And he was only one third man in his body. And this body realm was the place where Satan attacked him. But as far as he was concerned, his spirit was filled with God. His soul was filled with Christ. And this is the picture of you. This is a man God sees. You are to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will tell you about Christ. Why is the Holy Ghost telling you about Christ? Because the Holy Ghost wants you to accept Christ and be filled with Christ also, like Jesus. The Holy Ghost wants you to be filled with Christ. Now, we have been talking about Christ and we haven't understood Christ. Amen. A man named Jesus had Christ. There was a man named Jesus who had a spirit named Christ. Don't you remember one scripture said Jesus became both Lord and Christ?
Yes.
Both God and Christ. Jesus had Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in him. And he had his own spirit. He had four spirits.
Hallelujah.
Spirit of a man. So Jesus had the spirit of Christ within him, and the spirit of Christ is the spirit of a being, a man that is to redeem all creation, a Messiah that is to come and to set Israel free and to deliver the whole creation and bring back to God a renegade creation that had gone wild from God, and to bring it back to God. This is the duty of the Christ man. Amen. So when God told Eve that your seed is going to smash the seed of the devil, it is this that is going to happen now. You, the people of God, are being given the Christ seed so that you might come forth as the next Christ.
Amen.
I wonder if you believe it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You will come forth as the next Christ. The first Christ's name was Jesus.
or Yahshua. That was his name, Yahshua. Same name we call for Joshua. That was the first Christ name. And your name, it's not going to be this old one you have, but God said he'll give you a new name, which no man knows. It could well be Yahshua. Amen. And we will be the Christ. Now, it's not hard for you to believe, for if you doubt it, what I'm saying right now, it means that you don't even have the Christ in you. If you doubt what I'm saying now about you being the Christ, you don't have the Christ. Because the more you go on with God, and if you give way to the Holy Ghost will tell you that you will become the Christ. And you will be that part of God which will bring forth seed. For this is the multiplication of God. God made all things to multiply. And because God made all things to multiply, this means that the nature of God is to multiply. Watch nature. Just look around. The God who made it is a multiplier. He believes in progress. Amen. And so God made man as his children to multiply God. But the only way he could do this, to make you bring forth sons, is to put you into the habitation of the devil. That's the only way he could do it. Because if there is anything in you for the devil, it's going to manifest. And if you want to go to the devil, God's going to allow you to. He mustn't force you, or else you're not a son. For the purpose that God wants us to be in the ages to come, we will never be that if we have anything of the devil in us. So what God is doing is clearing this realm entirely, and clearing every realm entirely of the devil, and that which is opposite to righteousness. This situation you must also understand. May God open your understanding. This situation you must also understand now, before we go any further, or you will never understand who you are, why you are, what you are, and what you shall be. As a matter of fact, you are what you shall be. I am not looking at mortal human beings here who are weak and wretched, but I'm looking at some angelic beings greater than angels who are already ruling the realms of God. But our consciousness is a block that prevents us coming into the understanding. And we are glory to God, we are subjected to this kind of thing for a reason. And the reason is because God wants us to deliver the whole creation. And unless you are subject to what creation is subject to, or would be subject to in the future, you would never be able to deliver them. That's why Jesus came down and be subject to what we are subject to in order to lift us. So if you can understand this is a delicate point right here. May God really open your understanding. Hi, Kamasha. Oh, God. Hallelujah. We as mortal beings are not really what we seem to be or what we feel to be. We have been subjected to this. Romans 8:19. God said he subjected us in hope. And what was the hope? There was a problem that God had. And this is how God is solving his problem. Let me explain the problem to you and see if you can understand it. by the grace of God, it's coming through very powerfully to me. God made good. And when he made good, he in his absolute wisdom and understanding knew that because he was good, there was the possibility of evil. For the moment you make one thing, you create another thing. You automatically create every time you make. Amen. The man who made a motor car, he created a hazard. He created pollution. He created the hazard of being killed on the street. He created the necessity for good roads. Oh boy, he created 1,000 different hazards which he didn't make. He didn't want them. He's against them. But he created them by making a car. You make a wall in the space, you create 2 rooms. And every time you make something, you create something else. So God, in his wisdom, knew that when he made good, when he made himself good, establish himself as good, he would have to deliver his beings from evil. For automatically he had created a hazard named evil. Though it wasn't personal, it wasn't potent, he knew that some of his beings would go into it. Because they weren't all wise and all powerful, and they would want to go into it sometime or another. Therefore, he made a number of mighty beings. And as he made this number of mighty beings, he gave them power, absolute power. And he explained to them the problem, the pollution problem, called evil. And all of them had the knowledge of evil. Had the knowledge and the understanding of how desperate it would be, of what it would be. God gave them the vision through the ages to see what evil would produce, the destruction it would produce. God showed them the defeat of evil. Amen. But those beings knew something else too. They knew that they had power to change the courses of things. And so one of these beings said he is going to become this devil thing. God showed him, God tried everything to stop him. And God knew all that he was doing. And God allowed him to go up and down through heaven and clean out heaven. Bible said, he was allowed to walk up and down through the stones of fire. You want to read that? Check it. Is it Ezekiel? Ezekiel, what is that now? 28. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. This could mean nobody else but Satan. And this meant Lucifer, the mighty angel. He was the only covering cherub in heaven that God would give his word and his message and his will, and he would overshadow the rest of heaven with it. Amen. He was the covering cherub, just as we now are overshadowing the man child. Amen. So he would overshadow heaven. Praise God.
Now, God said he walked up and down through the stones of fire. Did you ever consider what it meant? The stones of fire were the mighty ones of power. And God allowed him to go on to preach sin to them all. And some accepted him. Some rejected him. And heaven was cleaned out. And one third of the angels fell. And God allowed him to do his evil for what he had done. In doing evil, he created good. You see? If in doing good, if in making good, you create evil, then in doing evil, he created good without trying to do it. Because the good was that he cleaned out heaven. And the heavenly realm is now incorruptible. Tell them this, he'll tell you so. I'll bear the responsibility before God. The heavenly realms right now is not corruptible. Satan cannot corrupt the angels anymore. Amen. That's the reason you are in a battle now. Because he was cast out of one heaven, he fell into the second heaven, which is the starry heaven. And he rove around there in space until God made man. He came down on earth. And he fell into man's heaven. Because your heart is a heaven for God, where Jesus wanted to dwell. And so, this is the last heaven. When we kick him out of this heaven, he has nowhere else to go. He will be put on a frequency that he can't reach you. And he will be blasted off into this frequency forever and ever. And this is what they call the lake of fire. Some of us don't understand it. The lake of fire is the burning that he's going to have within himself, hunger. Right now, Satan is feeding off of our realm, and that's why he makes sickness and all that sort of thing. It is his torment that he's putting on the whole people of all the world. And they are easing themselves on us, getting an ease from the torment that is within them. Don't you understand? When a demon spirit latches on to you, he eases his torment. The spirit said to Jesus, he said, don't send us into the deep. Let's go into the hog. They were sucking the life out of the man. That man would eat vicious amount. I know some men who eat 4 gallon tin of food. One man would sit down and eat a 4 gallon tin of food. I have seen one man who ate a big goat that weighed 40 odd pounds. Ate it everything, it was a bet, and he just ate it off and sucked all the bones dry. Why? Because the demons are feeding from them and taking all the energy out of them. But that's by the way. Demonology. But the people of the world, our realm, is being sucked dry of all its energy by the devil. And this is the reason why the people can't live righteous. And God is going to chain the devil for 1,000 years and give us a chance, and brother, it's going to be something. It's going to be something. We're just going to discover overnight that everything was beautiful and glorious, and this was a Garden of Eden, and we didn't know. Amen. Because that old devil will be chained. Because he is sucking life out of our realm. He's destroying our realm. He's taking everything, all the glory, the blessing, the joy that we should have. He is swallowing it up. Now, when he is denied this food, boy, he's going to be meager. And this is the burning, right? The burning of hunger. Want to be satisfied, can't be satisfied.
And this is it. Well, praise God. So we see here, Satan walking up and down through the stones of fire, taking out from heaven, and this is God's problem as I was dealing with it. Therefore, God decided once and for all, he's going to make some beings, humans, and he's going to put us in weakness, in the realms of the devil, and he's going to give us the opportunity of destroying the enemy and taking life or death, anyone you want. And then those who take life, he will know that throughout the eternal ages, you will always want life. And you'll never want it. So those who take the death, he'll know also that in the eternal ages, they'll always want death. Therefore, once and for all and forever, he will cleanse all his realms by the action of man from the thing called evil. You see, evil wasn't personal. Evil was impersonal. Evil was only a theory. But a personal spirit named Satan went in and put himself as personal evil. So he became a positive. The Bible said he wanted the throne of God. He wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. What's the meaning? He wanted to become a positive, a life giver. Amen? So Satan is not God's negative. You and I are God's negative. A negative is drawing from the positive. Amen? And it keeps the positive moving because the positive keeps giving to it. Amen? And it keeps producing energy. For whatever, for running your car or for something, but it keeps producing energy. Amen. So you find that you put down a battery, don't use it, and what happens to the battery? It gets dead. When a battery is dead, what happens to it?
It has to be charged.
Yeah, but do you know what really happened to the battery when it's dead? When a battery is dead, the negative becomes positive. That's all happened. The positive keep pushing into the negative, no circulation, until the two of them become the same, so no current. Amen. So what happens is that the more you use what God gives you, the more the flow goes, and the more the power is. Amen. So the more you use it, the more you get. As long as that power keeps moving, it's keep increasing. So this is the conclusion of that part of the matter. God is positive good. We are negative good. Negative good pulls from positive good. And life circulates and there's an increase. 42nd generation. Satan is positive evil. He's positively evil. He's no negative at all. He's positive evil, and the children of disobedience pull from him evil. Amen. So you understand what's happening. There is a circulation in the evil, and there's a circulation. You know why I'm going through all this? There are some people teaching that Satan is God's negative, you know. They are saying that the devil is negative and God is positive. And they are saying that God couldn't do without the devil. That every negative must have a positive. It is a satanic doctrine. It is from hell. And this doctrine that I saw preached in one little magazine there, put out by Bill Britton, which says that the devil was made by God, is a lie. It's a lie. God never made Satan. God told me so. I put my neck down on the block for that. God told me so. I pushed my head up. God told me he never made him, and he said he never made any sinner man either. He never made the Adamic man. God told me that. I said, God, what do you mean? Didn't you make? He said, no, I never made them. He said, Adam made them. After Adam fell, Adam made them. And Jesus saved them. So Jesus is giving them an opportunity of coming back. Then he said he never made the devil, and I was surprised. I said, what do you mean, God? He said he made Lucifer. And if you check your Bible, Lucifer was a good. He was good as any other angel. And God said to me a very strange thing, which I don't find in the Bible yet, but I suppose I'll find it. He said, do you know that there were many angels like Lucifer who could have been the devil, and they didn't want to? Why should he just make one like him? There were many others who could have been a devil, and they just did not want to be any old devil. So that means, brethren, the scripture that was quoted in that magazine called The Shining One, the scripture that was quoted there said, Jesus saying Satan was a liar from the beginning, and Satan was a murderer from the beginning. Brethren, Satan was a murderer from the beginning, but not Lucifer. Lucifer was not the beginning of Satan. Amen. Praise be to God. You, when you were born, that was not the beginning of you. The person that I see sitting before me here this morning, it wasn't the beginning of you when you were born of your mother. The beginning of you was when you were born again of Jesus Christ. God is only using the same body. But the Adamic man is a dead thing. And no matter what he might do or what the devil might try to do through you, it is not you. And brethren, I wonder if we could ever approach our brethren like that. I had a case of a brother doing something that was pretty bad, very bad. And he was telling me that he would do it and he will do it. I said, no, you won't. He said, yeah. I said, no. I said, I don't believe it. I said, you could talk 1,000 times. I believe it's a demon spirit talking to me. I said, I know you. I said, I know you. I know you are saved, and I know you, and you wouldn't do it. It's not you. It's a demon spirit. Boy, he got him. It has to get him. If a man stand up to your face and tell you, I'll face you, I will do, and you said you won't. I know you. I said you wouldn't. I said if you do it, it's a demon spirit. He's got to believe, because he's the Son of God. If he has one little thing for God in him, grab him by the handle and just lift him up. I grab this by the handle very easily. Grab him by the handle, brethren, because the handle is the Jesus in him. And you lift him up and you handle him, because he's of God. He cannot sin. For the seed of God dwells in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot. The God-man that is in you cannot sin. No. Let me see that old body do a million sins, and I just curse the sins that body do, and I just bless the Jesus that is in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And this is the basic principle of who you are,
yes.
What you are, where are you going?
Where are you going? You are already in the city of gold. You have to condition your mind to your new surroundings. For gold is the nature of God, and you must see nothing else in your brethren but the nature of God. That which is in them which is not of God is not them. It is the devil. Therefore, you're not a discerner of the devil. Just push that aside and encourage the God that is in them. You are a son of God, therefore I expect you to do so and so. And if you go around dealing even with your children in this realm, your children will get within them a godly pride that they will feel that they're above disobedience, they're above certain things. When they do it, they themselves will have the condemnation in themselves. You have got to begin to treat your children as you treat the sons of God. Treat them as sons of God. If you would huff them and bawl at them and kick them and get wild with them, then that's what you'll do with the sons of God. And this is the new vision we are receiving. Who are you? You're not Adam. I don't care what you do. If you say you're not Adam, I just don't care what you do. Because isolated outside actions are only trying to prove you that you must get rid of this demon that is troubling you. Because if you're doing actions and you don't want to do them, then it's somebody else in you that is doing them and using your body, and it's not you. So you must get rid of them. And the thing in here cannot stand them. And none of you can live in sin. I know you can't do it. You can fall down in sin, and I can see you do the worst sin. It's not going to frighten me. Because you must come out of it. And you will come out of it if you are of God. If you are not of God, then you are not going to come out of it. You're going to like it, and you're going to hide from me and do it. But if you are of God, you will come out of it, and I know you must come out of it. I can do anything with you. I can lay my hands on you and cast the devil out of you, and it will go. Because you are of God, you belong to me, you belong to the Israel, you are part of my inheritance, I'm part of your inheritance, and there is no division amongst us. You can't do it, Nick. Amen. So this is the thinking that we need to think, the understanding that we need to get, the way that we need to begin to act. We've got to start moving in Christ and forgetting the old wretched Adam thing. For Adam in our realm never existed. Adam is a lost quantity over something that old and happened out there. But we have got to turn our backs upon the Adamic nature. Somebody is asking a question, and it's pertaining to the facts of life. Yeah, all right, if the facts of life face you, deal with it like a Jesus man. Don't deal with them like another man. One fact comes up before me here. I owed a lot of money to various firms doing business, and a lot of people owed me much more than what I owed. And here I have a long list of people to sue because I am getting out of business, and here this long list of people to sue. And I'm being sued by the people I owe. And I could just turn over this list to the court, and the court would harass those people and take the money and pay the other people, and what's left I would get my money. And so I decide to do just this because I don't see any way out. I make my list, and I can't sue them. I'm going around in circles until this lawyer says, cast it out, can't worry with you. Call you, I won't give him the right to sue them. And I keep going around circle, and the other people keep lashing at me. And I have to be paying, working hard to pay you, and get, and no deliverance, as it were. But I couldn't help acting like a Jesus man. When I went out there and saw one of the people who I would sue, amen, the man is so pitiable. The man is working so hard, so wretched his life. I know him in his home. Can't sue him. Could never do that. Eventually, the Jesus nature overcome me, tear up the paper, throw it away, and don't ask anybody else for the money. It was easier for me to suffer than to knock them and put them in. Some of them would go to the jail, you know. If they didn't pay in Jamaica, you go to the jail if you owe and you won't pay, and they break out a commitment against you, put you in the prison for the money you owe. You must get your money. That's a place that you owe. You must get it. And so this is the situation. You've got to balance the thing in Christ Jesus. Am I going to act like a Jesus man or like another man? And boy, if you act like another man, it's going to beat you. We have now got to make a sudden walk into what we have been preaching. Amen. And I'm looking forward for every demon force to be kicked out of this group.
Yeah.
Everybody who come in your way is going to lose every demon. It's no problem at all.
Praise God.
No problem. We are a conquering army, and we have begun to march around Jericho, and it is conquering from the first to the last. Every demon power must be kicked out of us. And brethren, don't believe demons can do you one thing. They're trash as far as you are concerned. You are sons of God, though yet not exalted into the power. God is holding us back because he wants us to get right. Amen. Sorry, sister. Praise God. He's holding us back. And when God moves, we're going to just come forth. Because we are pressing against the ropes. We want this more than we want life. God is even going to turn the screws a little tighter. Increase the pressure. My God. So that we might move with that amount of force that God wants us to develop. Amen. And you know, little things like cigarettes, there are little things that annoy us, like cigarettes and a drink here and there, and things like that annoy us as Christians. We are now moving up into a realm where these things won't bother us anymore. You just talk to the cigarette and it will obey you. I shall have no more nicotine taste, and it goes. Yeah. We talked to a man's drugs he was taking for 7 years up in Ashland, and he that night he went to bed without drugs. So the first for 7 years. He went again, and he has been going for the week we were there. And he had a habit of drinking. He was an alcoholic. And we talked to the alcohol, and the alcohol hurt us. And he was still couldn't break away from the friends. So he said, okay, two won't hurt. He took two that day. The next day, friends got a hold of him again, hauled him into the clubhouse. Three won't hurt. He took three that day. And from he took the three, started vomiting. And he vomited all day.
He came to service tonight quite weak, but he got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. So God is willing. God is willing. Oh, we have got to condition our minds. Brethren, these things will just go and you'll forget them. You'll never remember them. Believe you me, you'll never remember them. And whatever it is bothering you, God Almighty is now willing to show you his power. Yeah. Amen. For the time has come. Amen. Not because of our power, but now is the time.
Yeah.
Now is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, peace up. Use God's command. For every power and dominion are given now into your hand. Ye that are here, now hear the trumpet. Ye that have heart to understand, it is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, be strong, possess your land. Now is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, be strong, 'tis God's command. For every power and dominion is given now into your hand. Ye that have ears to hear the trumpet, ye that have heart to understand, this is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, be strong, possess your land. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
This is the end of message. M. O. 23, Sons of God, Not Sons of Adam.